Imagine living in a time where you knew God existed, but you didn't really know anything about him. Imagine yourself trying to figure out how you are to relate to your Creator, or if you're to relate to your Creator, or how it is that you're to approach your Creator. Well, God's gone way out of his way in the Scripture to give us revelation, not only about who he is, but what protocol is to come into a relationship with him, and to also walk with him, and to also honor him. This commandment exists to help us not abuse the name of God, the name of our Lord Jesus. So here's the deal. A name is a word or words by which one is known. I'm known as Steve Watson, or other names from other people who like or dislike me. It refers primarily to your identity, right? Now picture being God, the creator of all, and revealing your name, and then having it used the way some of us use it. Not a good thing, is it? It's not a good thing. We identify a person by his or her name. It's what distinguishes a person from another individual. So let's go back in the Old Testament to when God has already dealt with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we're to Moses. And it says this: when God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush and announced to him, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses, soon after hearing that, wanted to know what? He wanted to know God's name. Think about that. You ever been in a pinch and you're trying to think of that name that God revealed about of him in the Old Testament of himself that promised to be your provider? Oh yeah, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Now you're praying, aren't you? That's your name, and there's power in your name. Please come through for me. That's grace. So Moses is like, I want to know your name. I want to know more about you. I want to see you. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? That's a good question, isn't it? Hi, I'm a prophet. I have a message for you. You got to move. Your God sent me. What was your name? Got to know that, don't we? It's kind of like showing an ID, isn't it? And God answered and said, I am who I am. Therefore, if anyone asks who sent you, tell them, I am has sent me to you. The term God does not itself give identity. It's a generic term that points to deity, but doesn't give any revelation about this deity. The Hebrew Elohim refers to God as a powerful being. In fact, it's the first term used in the Bible in Genesis, and it pointed out as God being our creator. It's also in the plural in the Hebrew, suggesting the Trinity. That's why, or helps explain why we have this verse in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Up until the time of Moses, mankind knew a little bit about God and worshiped him, but Moses needed to know more, and God began to unfold more revelation to him because he asked. B, the importance of someone's name. A name not only refers to one's identity, but also to one's reputation. How's your reputation doing? So you're thinking, depends where you go. Who you talk to. The Bible says in Proverbs, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. That's Proverbs 22. God's name is held in high honor, and God wants that to remain. He has revealed himself not only as a God who is jealous, but also a God of glory. It says this in Isaiah 42, I am the Lord, that is my name. The Lord, there is Yahweh. This is the word that certain Hebrews or Israelis won't say even today. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. So the first thing, when you become a disciple of Jesus and you start to learn the Lord's Prayer, what's one of the first things you learn about God? Some of you are thinking through, okay, Lord's Prayer, where is that in my file? Our Father who art in heaven, here comes the first deal, big deal. Hallowed be your name. God is holy. He's to be honored. It's the first thing Jesus wants us to catch. The third commandment that we're focusing on this morning was given to protect the honor of God's name from abuse. And unfortunately, many of us abuse it without even knowing it. So what does it mean to take God's name in vain? We're going to spend a little bit of time on that this morning. The phrase take in vain comes from a root word in Hebrew meaning to be waste. To be waste. The idea of being empty of meaning. So Israel was being taught deep truth with each commandment so that they might know God and know what pleases him. And God's name is not waste. It's not meaningless. In his name there is power. John Paul Jackson told us in one meeting that he had an encounter where he was pulled into the throne room and he stood before God and he shook. He doesn't know exactly how long he was there, but he realized at the deepest core of his being that this God had the ability to wipe him out, reduce him to nothing, and to say he never existed. Not that he would do that because it would violate his character. But he had the power to do it. So John Paul has an awe of God, unlike any I think I've ever run into. Israel was being taught this deep truth. God brought these Ten Commandments to Israel at a time when they had sinned against him. I don't know if you remember that. They had all the calf worship going on and all the stuff down there. And it was because of their sinfulness that God had to step in. Do you know what that's called? Grace. You ever been in sin or in deception and God stepped in and you went, I'm so convicted of this sin, I got to repent. That's grace. Grace is the ability to see sin and repent from it. Grace is the ability not to sin. Grace isn't, I get to go do what I feel like doing and I'll just ask forgiveness later. I'm going to say that a lot in the next couple months because it's a theme in the church nowadays. It's false teaching. So how do we know that we're able to show reverence to God, or how would we show reverence to God? It's about how we talk about God, honoring him. Did you know God's listening to everything that you say? He's eavesdropping. Have you ever thought about that? He even knows your thoughts. Ooh. That's some scary stuff. One of the most terrifying verses in the Bible is found in Matthew 12, and it says this, "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken." I'm afraid that I buy these red book things to write my sermon in so I can keep them. Maybe Pam can sell them for a buck on eBay when I'm dead. I don't know. But I have this bad feeling that I've already got one of these filled up and they're probably on the second, maybe the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, or 50th, or 100th. I'm not sure. It's not good. I'm glad all of you are better than me and don't have that worry. Okay, remember last week we talked about sometimes we wish God was a little different. We could kind of redefine him. Sometimes I wish this verse wasn't in there. This one scares me. He keeps track of what we say and do, and the command has to do with the way people talk about him. The Hebrew may have even be translated this way. You could get away with this. Do not use his name for no purpose. We are not to talk about God in a flippant manner. This commandment has to do with respecting God and his character, but with particular reference to his name. And so God teaches us about his name, and he cares about his name. Do you care about your name? No, I just go do whatever I feel like doing. I don't care who it offends. No, I think we're pretty careful about our names, aren't we? I think so. I think most of us care about our names, and God cares about his. It's grace to let us know this, because his word says the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. That's our scripture this morning. All of us are favored or blessed with the knowledge of God's name. God is giving us the highest privilege a human being can have, and that is to know him as he really is. Have you ever thought about that? I remember when I was young, and we might be sitting around after playing basketball together, a bunch of guys of my age, and in high school, and some of the guys had met some of the Portland Trail Blazers. I happened to have an autograph from one. Anyway, so everybody's sitting around name dropping. Well, I got so-and-so's autograph. Well, I got so-and-so's autograph. Everybody's like one-upping the next one. If I'd have known what I know today, I could have gone like this. God and I are like this. I'd have won the argument. But you don't bring God's name in like that, do you? That's a flippant thing. But we do it, don't we? We fail to honor him as God Almighty, the King of Glory. It's amazing. We have so much of this just kind of in the culture, and it's acceptable in the church. We have a cultural holiness rather than a word-oriented holiness or a word-driven holiness. It seems that everything with God does, something great takes place, and there also emerges stuff like religious practices, or what we call sometimes folk religion, that enables people who aren't bent on pursuing God's desires and actually getting to know him, just so they can just do certain things, express things a certain way, and they get some sort of warm religious feeling about it. The Jews get that when they piously substitute Adonai for Yahweh when they pray or refer to God. So what is folk religion? It's having enough religion to make you feel religious without changing your life. It's having enough religion to make you feel religious without changing your life. I can remember going to church as a child and having that box checked off for the week. Yep, got her done. Good to go. I have favor with God. Everything's going to be fine now. He's going to have to bless me. I was there. I warmed that pew for a full hour and 45 minutes of my week. It's crazy thinking, isn't it? In some churches, cultures, a cadence or tone of voice is the anointing. You ever been in those? There is a river. Oh, Steve's going to get it finally. Oh, people are waking up in here now. Oh. I think God likes how I teach because he made me this way. So neener, neener. Or how about worship? There's a certain way you do worship. Think pipe organ. I grew up with that. Anybody in here grow up with that? The pipe, if you didn't have the organ going, that's not worship. And you had to have a lady with blue hair playing it. That was the rule. That was the rule. And if you didn't sing in my church, if you didn't sing "Just As I Am" at the end of the service, it probably wasn't a God-ordained thing. Because you had to go "Just As I Am" with that one plea and do the, somebody had to walk the aisle, and nobody went home, and we're all sitting out there going, "Somebody please walk the aisle, I'm hungry." I'm telling you the truth. It's like, so we had the same people getting saved every week. It was awesome. In Israel, they didn't pronounce the name Yahweh because they say God's name is too holy to pronounce. So that gives them some sort of religious feeling. It doesn't have any effect on their lives. And this is not what God wants, is it? It's not. It doesn't honor him. It doesn't honor his name. It doesn't honor his desire to know people and to see their hearts changed. So here's a biggie. It largely comes down to one thing, and that's using his name to make yourself look good. This is another way we do this. That is a sure way to abuse of his name. One of the interesting things, and it's a little confusing, and I'm hoping I can explain this morning, but in the Old Testament, there were verses that okayed using God's name to swear an oath, and Jesus started to address that. And it wasn't that Jesus was fulfilling a law because he was giving a better way. I'm going to say that ahead of time before I start going through this, because you can get, I reread my notes this morning, and I'm thinking, I might get lost in these notes, people might too. But this is the point of where we're going here. A lot of us use God's name to make ourselves look better. And it's one of the ways we misuse his name. So I want to say that up front, so hopefully this will make better sense as we go through it. So the right use of the name of God is when you make him look good and you focus on him, when it's your whole purpose in talking about him, to be focused on him, to give him glory, to give him honor. That doesn't make sense, right? But when you name drop God's name, you are really focusing on yourself. You are trying to make yourself look good. God does not like it when, and there are consequences when we misuse his name in that way. In ancient times, the third commandment applied to making a vow or promising an oath or swearing an oath. Okay, when one was promised an oath, it was to ensure that the promise would most certainly be carried out. If one appealed to a higher authority, God's name, for example, it was to guarantee what was affirmed in the original promise. The person promising an oath aimed to put an end to all the argument and say, okay, I brought God into it. This is a law of the Medes and the Persians. We're done. Believe me, let's move on. It was thought to be perfectly legitimate to do this or to make a promise of an oath and appeal to God's name as long as you were telling the truth. And as long as you would follow through on it. That's in Numbers chapter 30 and Deuteronomy chapter 23. For the Lord would not hold anyone guiltless who misused his name and didn't follow through by lying or breaking their promises. So Jesus is addressing this third command when he says, do not swear at all. That's in Matthew. That's just a little history for you to help you understand the context about why this scripture was given to us and some of the abuse that was occurring and still occurs today. It looks a little different nowadays in this modern culture. So in other words, what we're saying is do not bring in any higher authority to vindicate yourself or endear yourself. Jesus is saying just simply tell the truth. Well, there's a novel idea, isn't it? No. Honest. I really will. If you do this, I'll do this. Yeah, you've said that before. Well, we get that. Now what do? To try and win your case. We have to swear on the Bible, is what we say in our culture, or to God. Jesus is saying, don't do that at all. Just tell the truth. The point was that people, in order to elevate their own credibility, they would swear by the name of God. Why? In order to be believed and to make themselves look better or make themselves look honest or like they're going to do what they said. So if I say this, listen, I really am telling the truth, Pam. I won't buy another truck again, at least for a couple of years. And she's like, we've heard that before. Yeah. Now, where I cross the line is if I say this, God knows I'm telling the truth. Don't do that. Don't bring him into this. Especially if I'm going to go get a truck next week and lie about it, which I'm not, honey. You can relax. Yeah. Although I did get on cars.com and I saw the great truck. No, I'm just kidding. So, does this mean I should not swear in court? Some of you might have thought of that already. It's okay if you swear in court. This is an altogether different thing. It has no relevance. This command has no relevance to the court of law. When you are required to do something out of the law's fear that you might lie, if they're afraid you're going to perjure and they want you to swear, just obey the law. Just do what you need to do in that situation. There's nothing wrong with somebody doing that. We're talking about purposing to misuse God's name by trying to make yourself look better, to convince somebody that you're something you're not, or when you just use it in a wasteful, meaningless, like consign God to something less than he is. That's what we're talking about this morning. So the reason for the third commandment is Jesus, and the way Jesus addressed it, it was his way of applying the Sermon on the Mount so that a person wouldn't abuse the name of the Lord by just using God's name in some flippant way. It says in Deuteronomy 6, fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. It's like this. So if you look at the situation, what does God want when he gives us this? Don't just use him and his name in a flippant way. Definitely not all the stuff that you know not to do. You know, swearing, and then but also swearing an oath. Just let your yes be yes, your no be no. And don't try and use God to make yourself, elevate yourself to look good to men. That violates what he's saying here this morning. Do you remember the book of James? I almost hated bringing this up this morning. But there was one little section in James that I skipped. A couple of you caught it. And it was when they were dealing with the rich and the poor in one section. And what was happening is the rich were warned because they were withholding the wages of the laborers. And it was wages that the laborers deserved. This wasn't like some sort of, you know, picket line union deal. This was there was agreed to wages and they were holding back the wages. And what was interesting is he shifts in James the focus from the rich to the poor. Their sin is obvious. He's trying to protect the poor from falling into sin when he said, do not swear. And you're not talking about cussing, but bringing God's name into this thing. And he was talking to them knowing that they had been abused, knowing that they'd been victimized. That's grace, isn't it? They knew that they would be, God knew that they would be tempted to bring God's name. After all, they were, when we're mistreated or when we're hurt or when we're desperate, before we know it, we often bring God into it and say something like, God doesn't like what you're doing. God is going to deal with you for that. God is upset at you, and you're going to be in real trouble, mister. Can you ever get that speech or give it? Never get the idea, even if you're in the right, that God prefers you over somebody else. That's never the issue. These people were being warned. The poor were being warned. It says, why would one do that? Why would you do this? They bring God into it to create fear and to manipulate when someone does something that you don't like or is failing to do something they should be doing. And you aren't thinking of God when you do this. You're thinking of yourself. James was saying to these Christians who were abused, look, God's on your side. He's not preferring you over them. He's just with you. That's what this is saying. He knows what these people have done. Don't bring his name into it. He's got this covered. Don't try and bolster your case by saying that God's on your side and not theirs. So we skipped that little portion of scripture for today. We could use it now. That's my best guess. I didn't know what to do with it back then. I knew what to do with it today. So there you go. So do you know what it is to like to be a name dropper or to know a name dropper? How many of us like name droppers? My favorite people to hang out with. So why do we name drop? Think about this, just in the big picture. We want to make ourselves look better. We want to make another person a little envious because we know so-and-so. And so that we'll get treated with a little bit more respect and maybe a little more honor, right? Does that sound human? Doesn't it? In reality, we're using that person's name for personal reasons of self-interest, for personal gain. So the third command comes down to this. Do not take God's name in vain. Do not use God's name. Don't name drop. We should only use God's name when we're trying to make him look good, when our focus is on him and his glory. So the right ways to use God's name is in worship, like we just did with Kyle and Allie and the team. It's our glory to proclaim God as good, to proclaim that God is God. Scripture says, glorify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. That's in Psalms 34. Jesus became flesh and he dwelt among mankind. Jesus went to the cross and was despised and hated. Jesus shed his blood, but he was raised from the dead after hanging on the cross. God highly exalted him so that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you ask God to forgive your sins in Jesus' name today, you will be saved. Jesus is God. He is good all the time. God never falls asleep. He's awake all the time. These are the ways we talk about God in a way that glorifies him. It's the right way to use his name. The second way that we use God's name, or the right use of God's name, is in prayer. The miracles, healings, all of these things are the result of the power of Jesus' name. They are the result of the power of him, because God's name and God's power come together. When you use the name of Jesus, there's power. Anybody ever done a deliverance on someone else? When you say, in Jesus' name, go, guess what the demons do? They go. They're done. God did not reveal his name to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob like he did Moses. Where am I getting that? Exodus 6, verse 3 says this, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. My name, Lord, it was not known to them. But the moment God unveiled his name to Moses, signs, wonders, and miracles began to take place, didn't they? They did. We got seas parting. We got plagues coming. It was like, woo! Power is in the name of God. But he does not want his name abused. The third proper use of his name is to keep confidences, and this is what we're going to close on this morning. We're a charismatic church. What does that mean? We believe in all the gifts and that there's stuff for today. We believe in that the Holy Spirit is very important. We don't do the Christian life without him. But being a Baptist most of my life, and then having some encounters with God and being filled with the Holy Spirit and having gifts that no longer existed according to some of my friends, even though they were in the Bible, I can tell you that one of the issues that the charismatic church has that my Baptist brethren don't have so much is breaking God's confidences with you. How do we do that? It's a misuse of his name. It's a misuse of his name. So what does that look like? I'm going to say it this way. It isn't always necessary or proper to say, the Lord said to me, blah, 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 blah. Now, I still want to hear that happening a lot around here because I still want God to be talking to everybody, and it does edify and honor. But there's a time when that doesn't. Ask yourself, what's my motive in saying that? The Lord spoke to me and he said, is it to make God look good or to bless the hearer with what you have to say? Because they'll be encouraged because God spoke to you and it has meaning for you and etc. Or is it to make me look important or to look special? Whenever we're using God's name, the Lord told me, we need to ask, is this going to make God look good or not? Does it look good, make God look good when he speaks to somebody and they share it and it edifies a person or a group? Yes. So this should happen. There are times, though, that we can abuse the relationship with God and misuse his name. How does that happen? How about when we grieve the Holy Spirit in our anger, in our impatience, and we just say something horrible that has God's name in it? Or how about, more pertaining to what we're talking about here, when God gives you something in confidence and you share it? He shows you something that he just wants you to pray about it, and you say, the Lord showed me, because you forgot to do the little test. Now, is this about me or about him? Is it going to glorify me or glorify him in sharing this? See, God, I'm going to tell you just straight up, God has never bent the rules for me. It's another thing about him I might want to change. No, I'm just kidding. Now, every time I blow this, I try to bring something in that's confidential between God and me to try and impress somebody else. I get egg all over my face. Anybody here ever have that happen to them? Dallin's like, never. Just you, Steve. No. And how many of you have known when you did this, you brought God's name in, not to glorify him, but to give yourself a little boost? How many of you knew this was going to cost you? And it did. I'm going to tell you that if you don't stop, he's going to find somebody else to tell his secrets to. And none of us wants that for you or for me or for anyone. I am pretty certain that I have been told things from God that he meant for someone else to hear, but the other person didn't do the right thing, and I ended up like second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth choice. I'm just telling you. I think it happened recently. Whenever we use God's name, that's a really important quotes around use, he will pass us by and find someone who will have so much more respect for his name that even in conversation when they refer to him, they only want him to look good. So you can see there is a vast, large number of ways that we can take God's name in vain or consign it to something as less than it is, isn't there? So now you know why this was so hard to write, and I was repenting all week when I was writing it. I'm like, oh. We have this stuff ingrained in us in some really ugly ways, don't we? Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to repent quietly together. I'm going to say a prayer, just standing in the gap. But I'm just going to ask, if you've misused God's name, abused his name in any of the ways that we've described today, I'm just going to ask you to repent before you walk out of here. Did you know that he likes to forgive sins? He's totally into it. He's not like us. We want to hold a grudge and just make you suffer because you did something I didn't like. Now, he wants to forgive and cleanse and wash. So let's do that before we go here. I'm just going to lift up all y'all and myself in this. Let's stand. That seems really appropriate. Father, we don't know you like we could or should. And Lord, we're asking today that whatever has been true, good, and lovely spoken from this pulpit, it would take root, that seed would go down deep, take root in each of us. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that there would be fruit from it. And Lord, I just confess for our church that we've often used your name in anger or in a flippant manner or in a way that would make us look better than you or more important than we should be, and failed to honor your name and honor you as you really are and honor your reputation that is earned by your very nature. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves this morning and we just say thank you for the forgiveness of sin, for cleansing and washing us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for setting us free from condemnation. We are no longer objects of wrath, but we are your beloved sons and daughters. So we ask for now a restoration of the relationship that's been tainted and harmed because of our language and our thoughts that are contrary to truth of how awesome you are and how good you are all the time. Lord, we just say thank you for revealing yourself to us, and we ask for your help to honor who you really are and honor you as you are. And the church said, amen.